All right, let's get started with our 45-minute Sabbath school lesson in 28 minutes. So, all right, I want you to think. If we had a piece of paper, big piece of paper, and you was to run a graph of your spiritual life since the time that you accepted Christ, whether it was at 12 years old or 42 years old, whatever, and how would that graph look? Would it be just flat-lined? Would it be little mountains and small valleys? Would it be big mountains and deep valleys? Don't know. Everybody's different. But I want you to think for a second, what would that graph look like if you were to share it with the class, and you're not, but what would it look like if you grafted your spiritual journey with God? Long ago, at Burton, we had a teacher that meant very well, but he said to the children that when you go to a place that you're not supposed to be, such as a movie theater or places that serve alcohol or places that you just shouldn't be, the problem is that your guardian angel stops at the door, does not go in with you until you come out, and then the guardian angel picks you up again. Now, am I making this up? Oh, okay, thank you. You know, every once in a while, when you get old, you just wonder, nah, you know, is that just one of those flash things?
See? Too.
Pardon?
They used to say that even in Brazil.
Oh, okay. So in Burton and Brazil, it must be the B places that this was taught. Yeah. So I had a very, very good friend, George Showalter. And one night, he's comes home to his family and he tells family that he was an insurance agent, that he was meeting somebody, some guys at Friday's. And the little girl says, do they serve alcohol there? And he says, well, they have it available, you know, but I don't. And she starts crying. And so finally he gets out of her that she was scared to death that when her daddy went to Friday's for a business meeting because they served alcohol, that the guardian angel was going to stand out on the corner of Cooper and Mansfield until he came back out. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible we have stories about a lot of people? Have you ever noticed that the majority of the stories about the people are about, is it about the good they've done or is it about the bad they've done? It's both, but which is the majority? The bad. Kind of interesting, isn't it? You know, the disciples go out and they do something real great, and that's one verse. Then we have a lot of verses of what Peter did wrong and all of that. Well, today we're going to look at the life of David. Now, remember I asked you about your graft of your spiritual journey? Man, what do you think about David's? How would you like to graft that spiritual journey he had? So we're going to look at David and an instant in his life, and I want you to be thinking, is my life similar? Now, I got some texts. All right, who's got number one? 1 Kings 14:8, one of my favorite texts. Read it nice and loud.
Okay. And tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes.
All right. I want you to keep that passage. David is a young boy. We're introduced with him when he's out in the wilderness. And, of course, he came upon some animals and took care of them. And then he comes to the camp of Israel, which is in a big fight with the Philistines. We got Goliath. That was an interesting picture on Logos, the deal of David, Shaquille O'Neal, who's about 7'1". Lousy basketball player, in my opinion. And Goliath, very, very tall. I mean, that was interesting. And where did David put his faith and trust? God. Okay? So he picks up stones, uses one, gets a good victory for God's people. He becomes king. Very kind to Saul. Saul, who at times wanted to kill him, but David was very, very kind. And who has number two? I want you to listen to how kind and how great a king that David is.
2 Samuel 8:15. So David ruled over all Israel and administered justice and equity to all the people, including those nations who submitted to him.
Okay. Is that a nice thing to say? Yeah. Ruled fairly, gave justice to everybody, took care of the kingdom, even to the heathen nations that he had conquered. So, let's look at David's little graft. Very high when he kills Goliath. Few little problems. Very high. One day, David has now come to Jerusalem. He's been victorious. God's given him some great victories, and they throw him a great celebration. And so now David is king of God's people, has a wonderful relationship, given justice, doing exactly what God had called him to do. And then something changes. He's up on a rooftop. And he looks down. And he sees what must have been a very good looking woman. And she happens to be bathing. And he says, I really want that woman. How in the world did this come about?
He didn't go to war.
Pardon?
He did not go to war. He didn't go do his job.
Okay. So if he'd have been out killing more people, not on the housetop, this wouldn't have been a problem.
That's what Scripture says.
Okay. I got to go open that little box in Logos and check this stuff out now. All right. How else did this happen?
Idle mind.
Idle mind? How else?
You've got to wonder if this is the first time that he's actually seen her, or if he's been entertaining this idea and it's been growing and growing and developing over a period of time.
So perhaps he was reading Israeli Playboy? How did this happen?
Well, you know, we think sometimes about the devil and his using objects and things around us, but also the devil likes to get into our mind.
Okay.
Take control of our mind.
Okay. All right.
Whenever you don't do God's work, whenever you don't even read the Bible or study God's work, Satan finds you what to do, some other business. If he was, you know, concerning about his people who are over there now in a war and maybe be in there, probably this is not going to happen to him.
Okay.
So it's in our life, as soon as we, excuse me, start to do, you know, doing some other thing besides, you know, God's work, reading the Bible and studying the Bible, Satan fights, what are you going to do for
okay.
us?
All right. Let's go deeper than that. What happened to David?
He wanted something
he didn't have. Let's go deeper than that. So, you know, let's get this story straight. If he is reading the newspaper instead of watching and seeing Bathsheba naked and desiring her, we wouldn't have a problem. Is that correct? Is that what you're telling me? Was his life that fragile that he happened to, instead of looking left, he looked right?
Well, I think David, the position as the king, you know, it comes with a lot of power. And so I feel that, you know, he started to delegate tasks that should have been his responsibility to others, freeing himself up to do wandering.
Let's go deeper. These are nice things. Everybody's correct. Let's go deeper.
I want to make a comment.
Yes.
Actually, I was reading an article about leadership in fail. So it's like when they start to look at themselves and be selfish and pride of what they do, and they forget about the whole group, is that when they fail.
Okay. Did, yes.
His connection to the Lord had to be wavering. For him to be so distracted.
Absolutely, but why? All right, let's go back. Who killed Goliath?
David was an instrument of God in that moment.
Absolutely. Better believe it. Yes?
I'm not going to defend David, but I think Bathsheba had a little.
Born good looking, forgot to draw her drapes, perhaps stuck her foot out of the shower.
I think she knew she was being watched.
Might be.
But wasn't it custom in that day for the women to go up on the roof?
Hey man, I'm the one that has a box called Logos that I just finally learned how to get by today. So I don't know the answer to that question.
That's why she was on the roof.
Who cares? Because the problem with David was the problem that we all run into. I got good news today. Tell Sue, she's not here. I am not climbing up on the roof. I am not going to be looking around at my neighbors to see who's taking a bath and who's not taking a bath. David was powerful. He gave justice. He was kind to the nations that he conquered. What tends to happen when you have great success and things are going absolutely good in your life? What tends to happen?
I say, I'm so smart. See what I done.
That's exactly right. The biggest sin that God has trouble working with us is when you get enough pride to think you have it on your own made. And that's exactly what happened to David. It was as he received that glory, as he received the people's praise, as he came into Jerusalem, he began to delegate Joab to go take care of what he should have taken care of, and he began to think what we all think when we have success, my, I'm doing pretty good. It's almost like when we get into a good position, we're dumb enough, we're stupid enough to say, God, you've taken me this far, I really got it under control right now, I can handle this, and I'll take care of the next few projects. Thank you very much. And when you wander from God, boy, the devil is there with all the temptations that you'll ever come across. That maybe 3 months ago would have never even crossed your mind. But when you start wondering, there's where the devil begins to work. So yes, she was pretty. Yes, maybe it was her fault. Maybe there was flirtation. Maybe he should have been somewhere else. Maybe he should have been a lot of things. The root problem is always the root problem, is when you wander from God, when you think you can do it on your own. That leads to a path of consequences that absolutely you'll suffer. But where was God when this was all taking place? Was He outside Jerusalem saying, well, there's just nothing I can do with you, David. So when you just kind of get around to your senses, come on out this way and I'll pick you up.
I'm sure God knows what was going on. But also, God says David was a man after His own heart.
Read it again. Read the last part. That's the only part I really like.
My servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, to do only what was right in my eyes.
There you go.
What a God.
This gives me hope.
Well, absolutely. Why do you think the story's there? Why do you think the story's about fallen man? Why do you think that the evidence is more of people that worked against God than the good things they did with God and for God? Because where does our life go?
Up and down.
So, David, and you know, the irony is irony. When you're nuts, you're nuts. When you're crazy, you're crazy. David does some crazy things. See? So, what, by the way, once you commit adultery back then, what was the, if you were caught and convicted of adultery, what was the punishment?
Stoning.
Now, here's a king caught in a problem, and so he's going to solve it his own way. He's going to take Uriah, and he's going to put him on the front line. They're going to go to war, and when you were on the front line, since this was all hand-to-hand, you were going to die. You're just going to die. You might kill 13 people in front of you, but then the 14th one's going to come up. You're going to die. Now, here's the irony. Here's how your mind works when God's here and your path and you're over running this path. Who delivered the message to Joab to tell or to put Uriah in the front lines? Uriah himself. Do you see what sin when you separate and get away from God, how you're, there is no logic? He takes the very man, the husband of the woman he wants, who's going to die, and has him deliver his own death warrant. What did David say? What did God say about David?
Who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes.
Where's David down on his spiritual graft?
Real low.
Well, don't come to it. Don't get ahead of me, Willard. Time's running out, but don't get ahead of me. Here's how God works, and here's how He works in your life. Different ways, but He works the same. So here's David, full of guilt, sitting on the throne, not feeling good. He becomes a lousy father to his own kids. Why? It's hard for him to say, don't do this when you just done it. So he's sitting on his throne, and here comes the prophet, Nathan. Nathan says, man, I got a problem. I got a real problem. And David says, man, what is it? After all, I'm full of justice. And he says, there's a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man has a whole lot of sheep. And the poor man, he's just got one little sheepy. Oh, how he loves this sheep. Sheep eats off the dining table. Sheep sits in his lap when they eat. All the kids are happy. It's just like a daughter to him. Now, please don't go out here and say I'm saying sheep and women are the same. I'm not saying that. I'm just quoting the story. Now, maybe in Logos, might have been a little different, but I haven't got there yet. So he says he just loved this sheep. It was just like a daughter to him. Visitor comes to town and he's going to eat with the rich man. And the rich man says, I've got to prepare a banquet. I've got to get a good sheep. So he goes out, and you're not going to believe this, David. He gets the poor man's only sheep and has him kill it. And that's what he feeds to his visitor. David's outraged, jumps up out of his throne, says, what kind of guy is this? Man, he ought to die. He ought to be killed. But I tell you what, we're going to reap four times the consequences on this guy. Point him out, and I'm going to deal with him. And here's the goodness. Here's the graciousness. Here's the kindness of your Heavenly Father, because He looked at David and said, thou art the man. You see, God must tell His child when he's off the beaten path. And you don't do it by standing outside a door and waiting for you to come back to tell you, do you know you messed up? He goes in to the dungeon of evil, to the pit right with you, and he says, thou art the man. Who's got number three? I want you to show you how quickly God reacts after thou art the man.
So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin, and you shall not die.
Do you see how quick? Do you see who was standing there waiting for David to come to his senses? Do you see that there was no accusations? Do you see that he never said, my goodness, what have you done? He says, I've messed up. Read it again.
So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die.
Immediately. I've sinned. Don't worry. He's already put it away. And by the way, the consequences should be death for you. But you will not die. Oh, did David suffer the consequences of what he did? Children rotten. The very baby that was born to Bathsheba and David died. David immediately goes into grief, covers himself, washes himself, cleanses himself. And again, this is how God works. He goes in sorrow, and him and Bathsheba conceive, and a son named Solomon is conceived and born. Oh, how David reaped the results. How a father stood there as he saw his boy hung in a tree with darts in him, saying, Absalom, 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 my son. When he needed God, God was right there. When he got so far along that he couldn't even imagine with the guilt how to get back, God sent him a message. And sometimes God has to look at you or me, look you right in the face and say, you are the man. But let me tell you, it's never because he's unhappy, he's sad, he's mad, he wants to get even. He does it because he has to, because that is love. And love must get the attention so that one can be dwelt with. Why is David's life in the Bible so much? Well, you just have to go read. Do I have one from Psalms? I sometimes get messed up. All right. Listen to David, written after this experience.
Sorry, all of a sudden I can't see. face. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance.
See. When I confess, God immediately answers. And then, of course, we're all familiar with Psalms 51. You see, David, if he drew his graft, if he stood before us, he would say, oh man, when I was young, I was riding high. When I became king, I was riding higher. But I got so caught up in what I was doing, how good I was, how I have it made, that I forgot the one that was giving me the power to do what I was accomplishing. And then, man, I'm telling you, I went down to the bottom. You can't get as low on the graft as where I've been. But God sent a man, told me a little story. I was so far deep that I couldn't even recognize the moral of the story until he looked me square in the eyes and said, thou art the man. And the first thing that came to my mind was, oh my, how can I hurt my God? And it broke my heart. And so his graft goes up, and then David would say, you know, God does have a sense of humor. Because the one thing I wanted to do the most was build a temple. And God said, my son, that's just not going to happen. And David would say to us, you think maybe my graft started going down. But God said, son, that's not going to happen. But let me tell you where our relationship is today.
My servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes.
I'm going to pay you the highest compliment I can pay any individual. In our relationship, you did everything I asked. You are my son. It's what God does to us. He just looks at us. Never says, you know, that's certainly been an up and down relationship, hadn't it? He says, like we do our children, put our arms around them. We only think of the good things. And that's the way we treat our children. And that's the way God treats us. So David would say, just when I thought maybe my graft was going down a little bit, I got the highest compliment any human being could ever be said of by God. I did everything right in His sight. What a God. You are the man. You're already forgiven. Father in heaven, no wonder David's in there. We all can relate. You're there. We all can relate. Amen.